Drive Time on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Create a brighter future for your employees with Zurich Corporate Pensions. Trust excellence. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more.
Minister for Health Stephen Donnelly has said he wants to expand abortion services for women in Ireland. He was speaking with Claire Byrne this morning. Well, separately, an Oireachtas committee was hearing from the chair of a recent review of Ireland's abortion laws. Marie O'Shea called for changes, including the removal of the mandatory 3-day waiting period. She said that courage and leadership would be needed. Two TDs who spoke at today's committee meeting join me now. Pather Tobin is an Aintu TD and party leader, and Yasa Horrigan is a Green Party TD. You're both very welcome to the programme. Let's start with the mandatory 3-day reflection period. Marie O'Shea's report, as you know, recommends this be made optional. Today's committee heard there were no medical or legal underpinnings or basis for the wait time, and that it's causing anxiety and distress, I think, were the words that were used. Pather, you asked about this issue today. Did you learn anything new?
Yeah, what people were shocked about in terms of the discussion today really was that the review has not made an effort to discuss with mothers who, you know, had the 3-day wait and decided to have their children. So nearly 4,000 mothers attended a first abortion meeting but didn't attend a second abortion meeting, which means that a large proportion of those, maybe 2,000 or 3,000, because of the 3-day wait that was afforded to them, you know, reflected on what their decision should be and decided to have their child and raise their child. The key...
But can I just, on a point of clarification, it's not that they didn't try to speak with those women. I think Dr. Catherine Conlon, who is part of the review team, did she not tell you that they hadn't done so because none of those women were among those who came forward via the unplanned pregnancy or abortion care support? So was that not the reason that they didn't speak with them?
No, my understanding is that no efforts were made to actually speak with these mothers, and the fact that we have a recommendation that suggests to get rid of the 3-day wait time, and nobody's actually spoken to the women who have availed of the 3-day wait time, is absolutely incredible. That one of the key protections promised by the government during the referendum is to be deleted without any research, any conversations, any emails had with the women who have benefited for them. There are thousands of children alive today as a result of that protection, and it's just incredible that has not actually happened.
So, Nasa Horrigan, can I get your view on that? That Pather is saying, surely we can't proceed, and I don't want to be putting words in your mouth, with the scrapping of a 3-day reflection period if you haven't spoken to the women who have availed of it.
No, I think that's a knowing misrepresentation by the deputy. What we heard today was there's no medical reason, there's no legal reason for the 3-day wait, and that it does present a significant barrier to people accessing care. So we heard about people from migrant communities, people with disabilities, people from the traveller community who find it very difficult to get the wherewithal, the money for transport. We heard one story where somebody had to pay €90 for a taxi to get to that second appointment. I think it's interesting that we are often talking about similar numbers, but we're interpreting them in different ways. There's no meaningful data to suggest that people who don't take up the second appointment are doing so because they've taken the time to reflect. In fact, the opposite is true. The Irish Family Planning Association did do some meaningful research on this, and they found that 97% of people asked who they followed up with said that the 3-day wait had actually no impact. And we know that the World Health Organization says that there should be no wait. It is paternalistic. And we heard today that it described as stigmatising. So,
about the thousands of women, as Pather says, that having waited, decided not to proceed?
Well, we don't know why people don't proceed. So, what we do know is that
we don't know why.
Exactly. So we do know that having two appointments or having to go away and come back again is a significant barrier. So it's very likely that people aren't coming back they can't afford to, because they can't get access to. And the deputy has actually no data to suggest that it's because of reflection. In fact, all the international data and all the data that we've done in Ireland suggest the exact opposite.
Father?
So we're led to believe that a mechanism that's designed to help mothers reflect and make a decision is actually leading to no mothers actually making a decision at all.
The 3-day wait was not designed for mothers. It was designed for people like you.
If we are having a review, should we not have all the information? NASA's right in one point. We heard of many anecdotal examples, but not one mother was ever discussed with in relation to the decision that she has changed her mind about. And that's a phenomenal weakness in this report. Also, the issue that NASA mentions that, you know, there's no medical reason for the three-day wait. You know, 98% of abortions in this country are on healthy mothers and healthy children. There's no medical reasons for those abortions at all. In actual fact, the Committee on the Eighth Amendment heard that 85% of those abortions are for socioeconomic reasons. And yet, again, the authors of the review never spoke to any mother who had an abortion because of the socioeconomic reasons that they're happening. So right around the country, we have mothers who are homeless. We have mothers queuing up outside of food banks. And none of those authors had actually discussed with women, 85% of women who are having abortions, what were the socioeconomic reasons that are leading to these abortions?
What about the international agencies that NASA cites, Pather, that said there shouldn't be a three-day wait?
Well, the WHO was referenced, you know, in NASA's statement there and a lot in the committee. Now, the WHO believes that abortion should be made legal up until birth. The WHO believes
Sorry to cut across you, Deputy, but
let him finish and I promise he'll come back to you.
The WHO is against any restrictions on this. And like all I'm saying is that that's not what the people voted for 5 years ago.
They didn't vote
for abortion upon
birth. Yeah, just to come back on that. So first of all, and we heard this morning, that no other medical procedure is subject to a three-day wait for reflection. That doesn't happen in any other procedure. And what it comes down to is, do you believe that women are competent? And if you don't believe women are competent, then you go back to them and say, well, you think about that again. And it's completely paternalistic. What we do know is that when people voted and we went back and we looked and we asked people, well, why did you vote during repeal? 75% of respondents, and it's hard for someone like me who knocked on every door in Dublin Central to accept this, 75% of respondents said they had already made up their mind, and only 1% of respondents said that the findings of the committee at the time in 2016, 2017 impacted their decision making. So the idea that we voted through repeal on the basis of that is just ludicrous.
But Pather is saying that people voted on this understanding that there would be safeguards and restrictions.
No, people voted on the idea that are we going to have compassion for women? Are we going to finally grow up as a country and stop exporting our problems? And we want a system of work that works. And what the deputy is proposing is
right
obstruction.
But am I not right in saying that you were part of the campaign for repeal, and when people were wavering or had reservations during that campaign, you pointed to things like the three-day wait as a reassurance?
I can guarantee you that I was not standing on any doors talking about the three-day wait, because I don't believe that there should be one.
Well, the Green Party did mention the three-day wait at that time. And just
it's not in our policy.
To go back on a number of points. NASA talks about this as a healthcare issue. 90% of doctors in Ireland refuse to carry out abortions. There's no other health operation that will be the case. Half of the hospitals in this country are refusing to carry out abortions. Again, no other health issue causes
a difficulty by the chair as well of the review.
And the one point, this is a massive decision. And you know what? Every single human being makes mistakes, and every single human being, especially at a time of crisis, needs time to think. We wouldn't purchase a house without giving ourselves time to think about such an enormous decision. It's clear that the government have reneged on the promises that they made to the people in terms of these key protections. Now, they have reneged on housing.
Can I put it to you that if a woman is to make this decision, do you really think she needs a three-day period? Is it not on her mind with her partner for a long, long time before that?
Well, all I would say is for a proper review to have been created, for a proper research to have been done, at least one of the women out of the thousands who actually took that three-day period of time to think about it and change her mind should have been asked a question.
This is nothing but obstruction. It is an absolute
massive gap in the review's ability. Listen, there are discrepancies all over this review.
You're actively trying to obstruct it.
Can we move on to another important element that was raised at the hearing today as well? It's the 12-week limit on legal abortion in most circumstances. Dr. O'Shea warned today that some women, she said, are timing out of the cut-off time because of public holidays and because GP referrals aren't followed up quickly, pointing to delays in the healthcare system and so on. Should there be more flexibility, Pather, in terms of the 12-week limit?
Well, at 12 weeks, the unborn child is a fully formed child. All that has to happen after that development is growth. Most families at home have the first photograph of their children at 12 weeks. The first week scan that they received when they went in for a scan to check out whether they were pregnant or not. And, you know, the child is quite considerably formed after that. And most people would find it very difficult to see late-term abortions happening in Ireland. Now, you know, I raised the other issue that there's 133 women who have suffered adverse effects in terms of abortions in this country. None of those women were discussed with the abortion review whatsoever. I raised the case of baby Christopher. Mm-hmm. Baby Christopher was a 15-week-old gestation-wise baby boy who was misdiagnosed as having fatal fetal abnormality. He hadn't. He was fully healthy. And because of a lack of resources given to that case by the hospital, that child was aborted. And yet, this review actually seeks to lower the qualifications by staff carrying out abortions in the future.
You're saying that should not be done.
Well, all I'm saying is that they are putting access as a priority to the safety of women and the health of women.
Okay, NASA and the 12-week limit.
Well, I think what we heard is that, you can look at the ideology of it, or you can look at it, the practice of it on the ground. What we heard is that in reality, our system is under pressure, and often the 3-day wait becomes a 5 or 6 day wait. We heard that for fatal fetal abnormalities, we have a huge amount of people still travelling, some of them because they time out on that 12-week deadline. We also heard that actually one of the most shocking things for me today, and I really was surprised because I wasn't expecting it. I thought I was pretty prepared. Was obstruction, was conscientious objection used as obstruction. We heard of one woman who, a migrant woman who was a victim of sexual assault, unfortunately, who attended the same GP 3 times before she realised that the GP wasn't going to refer her and wasn't going to provide the service. Now, that's actually really heartbreaking to hear.
But just, I think people will be shocked in relation to the conscientious objection in that the author of the report, Marie O'Shea, stated that people who were human rights doctors who opposed abortion should not be employed in certain positions within the health system, which means that if you have a conscientious objection that you would be less likely to be employed in the health service. Now, given that we have 700 missing consultants in this country, are we really going to stop employing consultants on the basis that they support the human rights to life for everybody?
I suppose we're getting to the crux of the conscientious objection debate here, as it was aired in the hearing, in terms of there's a balance, or there's a conflict here between the right to access determination and the right to conscientious objection. And I mean, how do you find the proper balance here in the health system if there is a difficulty in terms of accessing termination power because of conscientious objection, but yet people have a right to termination?
I don't think you should force anybody to carry out an abortion. It's as simple as that. I think it's absolutely wrong that we are looking to reduce a person's ability to conscientious object. And I don't think that a person who supports...
I don't think that's cited, but I think Dr. O'Shea was saying that in a recruitment process that it would be reasonable to ask a worker if they have a conscientious objection or not.
I think it would be wrong to discriminate against a person because they support human rights. I really think
No. What about that in the recruitment process, NASA?
Yeah, I think that was very interesting from Ms. O'Shea today, and I think it was incredibly useful for the HSE to have it outlined in that way. So her position is there's a balance of rights, and where there might have been a grey area in the past around can you ask this validly as terms of employment, you know, can you ask people in the interview process, would you be happy to provide these services? She's of the opinion that it is, and she also kind of said, look, where hospitals aren't doing this, it might be valid for the HSE or the department to step in and provide them with support. There's a criminal aspect to providing services for terminations, but where people are actively obstructing people accessing those services, there's no criminal impact whatsoever.
You'll both have a vote tonight on the People Before Profit Bill to provide wider access to abortion. The government, I think, wants to postpone that for 12 months or so to allow further debate and reflection on that bill. But they are providing a free vote, I think, on tonight's bill. Now, will you be voting with the government to delay these changes, NASA?
I absolutely will not. More than 300 people in the next year will have to travel abroad to access services. It's totally unacceptable. I'll be voting against the amendment and with PPP.
Pather?
We'll have to look how the vote is going. The government's 12-month option is down the road is better than the immediacy of the bill. But if the bill looks like it's not going to pass, we'll vote against the bill. But like, we have to find human right solutions to this. We have to find compassionate ways to deal with the 85% of mothers who are having abortions in this country because of the economic circumstances
and
that they're
we'll
in. And nobody's
this
looking
further
at that.
Again, Pather Tobin of AIMTHU and Nessa Horrigan of the Green Party, thank you both very much indeed for joining us.